Yeshayahu is the first of the Nevi'im Achronim, the later prophets. And the Nevi'im Achronim don't come after the Nevi'im Rishonim chronologically, because we know, for example, that Sefer Yeshayahu, the events of Sefer Yeshayahu take place also within the books of Melachim, as well as actually also in Divrei Hayamim. And therefore, they're called Nevi'im Achronim because we put them afterwards. But we place them there because their style is different. It's much more poetic and much more flowery than the language of the Nevi'im Rishonim. Yeshayahu is a tremendously difficult sefer to learn. It's difficult because it's long. It's 66 prakim long, the biggest, longest book of Nevi'im, if you go by perek, by prakim. And also, it is really difficult because it's harsh. It's got a lot of tochacha, a lot of rebuke, and a lot of very, very difficult language. And yet, we have to remember that over 30 of the 66 prakim of Sefer Yeshayahu are used as haftaras. So we're learning something which comes up week after week in our time spent in shul. People traditionally split Yeshayahu up into two parts. The first part, which is chapters 1 to 39, is known as the tochacha, the rebuke, where Yeshayahu reprimands the people. And then from Mem onwards is when he changes his tone, and those become the chapters of Nechama, of comfort. But the truth is, it's not fair to say that it should be in those parts. Firstly, because as you'll see, as we spend the next 66 days together, many of the chapters of rebuke have comfort in them, and many of the chapters of comfort have rebuke in them. But also, the Gemara in Bava Basra tells us that Sefer Yeshayahu is kulei nechimta, the entire Sefer is comfort. And we have to ask ourselves, really, is it? And one of the tasks which we're going to do together is we're going to attempt to see within every single perek that we learn a glimmer of hope, a glimmer of comfort. It's also important to remember that comfort, nechama, is not necessarily better than tochacha, rebuke, because when Yeshayahu begins to comfort the people, it's significant because it shows that he's given up on them. We reprimand someone we believe who can change. Once we think they can't, that's when we bring in the palliative care. That's when we bring in the comfort. And Yeshayahu's name really signifies these themes of rebuke, of change. In fact, the psukim themselves tell us this. Yeshayahu tells us in the beginning of Perek Mem Tes, the 49th Perek, that Hashem mi beten kara'ani, Hashem called me from when I was inside of my mother's womb, bima'ei imi hizkir, he calls out to me from before I was born, and hizkir shmi, he mentions my name. And Rashi over there tells us that Hashem chose for Yeshayahu to be called that name because Yeshayahu means from the word Yeshua, salvation, and he is the one who should bring salvation, Yeshua. But also, the word Yeshayahu comes from the word sha'ah, which means not only the word hour, but it also means to turn. As we know, for example, when Hashem does not accept Kayin's offering, it says, Vel Kayin vel korban olo sha'ah. Hashem doesn't turn towards his prophecy. And maybe that's the side that's the tochacha. The rebuke is meant to turn us. It's meant to change us so that we can arrive at Yeshua, at salvation. And as we know, these prophecies are written down because they apply for all future generations. They are ledoros, for generations. And so too, as we read them, we're not just talking about something which happened so long ago, but we need to ask ourselves, how can we go through the process of sha'ah, of turning, so that we can get to Yeshua? And lastly, by way of introduction, Rav Shlomo Freifeld describes how when he went to Eretz Yisrael, he would so love being in Eretz Yisrael. And he once said to a Talmud of his that his love of Eretz Yisrael was planted within him by his seventh grade Rebbe when they learned Yeshayahu. He said when he would read the psukim of Sefer Yeshayahu describing the eventual redemption, his Rebbe would be overcome with emotion. And when he would say the word Zion, he would weep. And so as we venture into Sefer Yeshayahu, let us too strive to get to the point that we can be overcome with emotion, and that when we read the words of Zion, we can truly weep. Sefer Yeshayahu opens with a vision, which is actually not Yeshayahu's first prophecy. Chazal tell us that Yeshayahu's first prophecy is Perek Vav, which we'll learn together soon. And Perek Aleph is a vision which really is the primary rhetoric of Yeshayahu. In other words, this is what Yeshayahu is going to, the theme of what he's going to say to all the people again and again and again throughout his lifetime. In fact, the Malbim says it's not just the theme of what he's going to say, but this vision itself is something that he is going to prophesize to the four kings who he is going to be around during his lifetime. As the pasuk opens and says, Chazon Yeshayahu, this is the vision of Yeshayahu, this perek, which Yeshayahu ben Amoz, Asher Chaza, which he had nevuah about, regarding Yehuda of Yerushalayim. In other words, his prophecies are going to be relevant to the people of Yehuda, Malchus Yehuda, as opposed to the 10 tribes who are up north in the Shomron. The 10 tribes themselves are going to be sent out into exile in three different stages during the reign of the Assyrians, the people of Asher. And during that exact time, Yeshayahu is prophesizing, but not to those 10 tribes, but to the tribes of Yehuda and Binyamin, who are watching from a distance as their brothers are being exiled. And so it tells us, this vision of Yeshayahu is going to be in the days of Bimei Uziah, Yotam, Achaz, and Yechizkiyahu, Malchei Yehuda. These four kings are going to be the kings that he prophesizes. And his time period is really going to be the entirety of Asher, as we said, the exile of the 10 tribes, and then the salvation of Yehuda and Binyamin, and later on, the rise, or the beginning of the rise of the Babylonian Empire. And we have in our Masorah, in our tradition, we understand that Chizkiyahu's son Menashe was actually the one to kill Yeshayahu, and that's going to bring his prophecies to an end. This vision, Chazon, is going to be the vision which we're going to read. This is the Haftorah of Shabbos Chazon. Shabbat Chazon is the Shabbos before Tisha B'Av. And as we'll see very soon, there's a lot of Tisha B'Av themes of destruction of Yerushalayim and Hashem telling the people to repent. That's going to be a foretelling of the Tisha B'Av story, which we will recite a couple days after reading this Haftarah on Shabbos Chazon. The perek continues. Shimu shamayim v'ha'azinu aretz. Listen up, heaven, and take heed, earth. Ki Hashem diber, for Hashem has spoken. Banim gidalti. I have raised children. V'romamti, and I lifted them up. V'hem pashubi, and they sinned against me. This reminds us very clearly of the Torah. As we know, Parshas Ha'azinu also says, Ha'azinu shamayim va'adabera, tishma ha'aretz imrepi. And maybe Yeshayahu is trying to help the people recall the visions of the Torah in order to kind of move them to do teshuvah. And one of the things which Yeshayahu uses to get people to do teshuvah is deep, deep imagery. Here we've got a parent and a child rebelling against the parent. There's going to be a lot of imagery throughout the Sefer. And why? Because at the end of the day, a prophet knows so much, but they have no power. They can't enforce the visions of God. All they can do is create stirrings in people's hearts and get them to repent. And that's what Yeshayahu is trying to do here. As he says, Yada shor konehu, an ox knows its master, v'chomer evos ba'alav, and a donkey knows the owner of his trough. Yisrael lo yada, ami lo hitbonen. But Yisrael, Hashem says, doesn't know me. Why do they not know me? Hoy goy chote, oy to this nation, this sinning nation. Am keved avon, a nation which is heavy with sin. Zerem reim, again, we're talking about children, a seed that's wicked. Bani mashchisim, destructive children. Azvu es Hashem, they've left Hashem. Ni atzu etz kadosh Yisrael, they've disgraced Hashem. Nazoru Achron, they've turned away. And here, the first image we're going to have of sin is going to be one of illness. Yeshayahu describes averas as if you're giving yourself a plague. He says, Al met tohu od, why are you continually smiting yourself? Tosifu sara, you continue to turn away. Kol rosh lechali kol levav davoy, all hearts are sick and all heads are ill. Illness is interesting, an interesting mashal, because illness is something which, if you feed yourself illness, then you're actually hurting yourself. And here he's describing the sin as something which is hurting them. It's not benefiting them. It's not bringing any good into their life. It's actually hurting them in the long run. Mikaf regal, he continues in Pasuk Vav, from your head, from your feet, va'al rosh, until your head, ein bo matom, there is no organ of your body which is not plagued with disease. There's no part of your life which isn't totally immersed in sin. Petza v'chabura, different types of wounds. Makat riya, a fresh wound. Lo zaru v'lo chubashu v'lo ruchba bashamen. You haven't done anything to treat it. You haven't put on band-aids. And you haven't covered it with, softened it with oils. And the Malbim over there says, that, sorry, that Barbara Nell says, that the image of putting a bandage onto a wound is, he says, that is hirhurei teshuva, thoughts of teshuva. Yes, you haven't stopped sinning, so you keep hurting yourself, you keep wounding yourself. Not only that, you haven't even considered doing teshuva. You haven't started to put on those band-aids and to stop the wound. And the nimshal of this illness is the next pasuk, pasuk zayin. Artzachem shmama, you've destroyed your land. Arechem srufot esh, your cities are burnt with fire. Admasechem lenidechem zarim ochlimota. In front of your very eyes, people are eating the produce of your land. Here the Malbim says these are the three stages of exile. The first one is the 10 tribes. Artzachem shmama, their land, we're watching them being sent out. Not only that, but then the people, the Assyrian army, come close to Yehud and they start destroying the neighboring cities of Yerushalayim. That's Arechem Srufot Esh. And then, even worse than that, they come and they take, or ultimately Yerushalayim will be destroyed by the Babylonians. Ad Maschem Negdechem Zarim Ochlim. Then it's all going to be over. And what will happen then? Pasuk Ches, V'nosra Batzion Kasukah Bakarem. Bat Zion, the daughter of Zion, will be left like a sukkah in a vineyard, kemilona b'mikshe, like a hut in a field, ke'ir netzura, like a besieged city. And this imagery of a sukkah is very interesting. Rashi says it's compared to a sukkah because a sukkah is something which is, it's this abandoned frame in a vineyard. When you don't need the vineyard anymore, but it's just abandoned and left alone. Whereas the Radak says, no, it's not left alone. It is for the shade of a man who's tending that vineyard. What it implies is not abandonment, but aloneness. And Yerushalayim, the Jewish people, will be left alone. Rav Hirsch has a third presentation, which is really beautiful, which fits into the whole theme of the Perek. Rav Hirsch says something truly beautiful. Rav Hirsch says, when the Pasuk says that Bas Zion has become a sukkah in a kerem, what that means to say is that Judaism, for the people of that generation, has become something which belongs in a lodging on a dark night. It's something which doesn't permeate into every area of their life, but rather Torah, Judaism, mitzvahs, is something that is isolated and alone for them. In other words, to quote Rav Hirsch himself, he said, they have made the temple the prison of the Torah. This concept of the temple becoming the prison of the Torah is the theme of many of the psukim that follow. As Yeshayahu begins to talk about the korbanos, and Hashem says to the people, Lamali rov zivchechem, why are you offering me all these sacrifices, Yomar Hashem? Savati olos elim, I'm satiated, I'm more than satiated with all of your rams that you're offering, v'chelef meri'im, and the fat of your fattened animals, v'dam parim, and the blood of your cows. Because, Pasuk Yud Beis, ki savo'u lir'os panai, when you come to see me, mi bikesh zot miyadechem, who asks you to offer these korbanos? Ramos chatzarai, it's as if you're trampling on my temple. Why? Because you're not bringing the korbanos for me. It's not, you don't see your korbanos as a means to an end, you see them as an end in their own right. As Pasuk Yud Gimel tells us, lo tosifu hevi minchas shav, stop bringing me these offerings, ketores to'evahili, your ketores, your incense is an abomination to me. Chodesh v'shabbos kore mikre, he says, you're calling all of these festivals, lo uchal oven va'atzera, I can't stand the assembling of sinners that takes place in the name of my festivals. Chodshechem u'mo'adechem san'a nafshi, I hate your festivals. And your festivals could mean the festivals of all the different idols that they worship, or it could really be the chagim, the real chagim that the Jewish people are using, and instead of using them as a means to connect to God, they're using them not as Hashem's festivals, but as their own festivals, mo'adechem, not mo'adai. And that mentality of seeing religion and religious structure as an end in its own right, and not a means to a relationship with God, is exactly this idea of making the temple the prison of the Torah. And as a result, Hashem says, I'm exhausted by this. Nileti noso. I'm tired of carrying your false relationship with me. And so do teshuva, pasuk tes zayin, rachatsu, hizaku, hasiru ra me'al aleichem, please wash yourselves, purify yourselves, do teshuva. Limdu hetev dirshu mishpat, learn to do good, seek justice, do the right thing. Hashem says, because Pasuk Yudches, Im yihiyu chataechem kushanim, if your sins are like scarlet, kusheleg yalbinu, I'll make them white like snow. Ve'im a'adimu, and if they've become red, ketola katzemer yihiyu, I'll make them white like a sheep's wool. This pasuk is a pasuk we say on Yom Kippur, and you're perhaps familiar with this pasuk. In Pasuk Chaf Aleph, Yeshayahu stops talking about the people and their sins, and he speaks about the land. And he says, Echa hayata lazona, how could it be that word Echa? We know that word Echa because we will be reciting it on Tisha B'Av a few nights after reading this, the Haftarah of Parshas Chazon. Echa, how could it be? Hayata lazona, it's become like a prostitute. Kirya ne'emana, it used to be a loyal city, Yerushalayim. It was filled with justice, and now the Ata Meratzchim, it's filled with murder. And some say actual murder, and some is saying their hands are filled with the blood of injustice. But, as we said, the whole of Sefer Yeshayahu ends with hope. And so, Pasuk Chaf Hei, Hashem says, Va'ashiva yadi elayich, I will put my hand over you, you sinning Jews of Yerushalayim, Ve'etzroth kabor sigayich, and I will cleanse with soap your counterfeit money. The Asira kol bedilayich, and I will remove all the bad metals from your coins. In other words, I'll bring back justice instead of tricking people and manipulating people and being unfair and unjust and dishonest. Honesty will return to Yerushalayim. Pasuk chafav. The Ashiva shoftayich kvarishana, I will return your judges as they were at the beginning. The yoatzayich kvatchil, and your advisors as they were. The achare kain, and afterwards yikare Lach ir hatzedek. Once again, Yerushalayim will be called a city of righteousness. Kiryat ne'emana, a loyal city. And the next pasuk really ends the haftarah, even though there's a couple pesukim left of the perek. The haftarah ends here. Tzion b'mishpat tifadeh. Tzion, with justice, will be redeemed. And the journey of justice redeeming Tzion is the journey of exile. That through the suffering of exile, we find redemption. As we said, from the sha'a, we find the Yisha, v'shaveha b'tzdaka, and those who return to her with righteousness. Thank you for learning with me today. Our learning today was sponsored L'Refua Shalema, L'Yonina Sima Bas Daphne Hinda, Jennifer Hayakara Shelano, U'Lepitzu'ei Tzahal, Achenu Hayakarim, B'toch Sha'ar Chole Yisrael, Nina V'Chaim Shenka.